Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. If it's not wet where you are, it will be soon. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also founder and host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook and in person, watch a movie and talk about it. Hey, Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Caught Stealing, not a biopic of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I assume?
Well, first of all, that would be Jane's Addiction.
Oh, you're so right. My God, what's wrong with me? Thank you.
Second of all, that might be an interesting movie right now, because if you know, they're in the midst of all suing each other after Perry Farrell punched Dave Navarro on stage about 6 months ago ended the tour. So that would be a very interesting movie right now. No, this is not what this film is.
Got it.
This is from Darren Aronofsky, who used to be one of my favorite filmmakers, actually, but like has been on like this weird tangent the last few films. I think starting with the film Mother, which is kind of beyond
weird at best.
Of course, did The Whale, I guess a year or two ago, that won Brendan Fraser an Oscar. That film had some great performances, but I think it was overall a little flawed. So I've kind of soured a little bit on him, but this one, despite the trailers that looked like kind of an Edgar Wright knockoff, is apparently pretty decent. Reviews in the high 80s on Rotten Tomatoes. This is starring Austin Butler, so another Oscar nominee. This guy, he was a big time jock that looked like he was going to have a future career. I had to stop playing. He's kind of eking out a living. He's got this great girlfriend.
He's Uncle Rico.
Kravitz. Yeah. And, he's just kind of living his life. He's a bartender. And he gets asked by his neighbor, played by Matt Smith. So this is Matt Smith from Doctor Who, House of the Dragons, playing a big punk rock dude with a mohawk. So that's interesting, too. Yeah. he gets asked to watch his cat and then ends up getting tied up in this big crime caper that this guy's involved in, and with all sorts of interesting and unique criminals chasing after him for reasons he doesn't even know.
How's it rating right now?
Again, they're pretty high. We're running in the 80%, high 80s on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. The Roses?
So if I told you that the worst reviewed movie of the week was a film starring Olivia Colman and Benedict Cumberbatch, would that surprise you?
Little, yeah.
because it is. It's not that it's necessarily gotten bad reviews. It's in the 65% range on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, lowest, but not terrible, right?
Yeah. But this is it's basically The War of the Roses. It is that same story. It's this couple that is, falling apart and, at war with each other. They of course play the couple in the film. Interesting supporting cast, Andy Samberg, Kate McKinnon, Shuti Gatwa, speaking of Doctor Who, another Doctor Who. What I understand, pretty serviceable comedy. Not anything that's going to stick with you long term, but obviously some great performers in this.
All right, so War of the Roses, the Michael Douglas, not the British French.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Toxic Avenger, which this was an old movie, but was it a comic originally, or is it a stand? Did it come on its own?
No, they made a comic book out of it, but it was a movie first. It was this is from Troma, which is the grade Z schlock. They made some beloved stuff, including Toxic Avenger,
right?
But it is very much it's actually where James Gunn got his start, was writing films for Trauma.
Oh, all right.
There's an interesting history there, and Toxic Avenger was probably their biggest property. They made I think three of these films originally.
This is a remake.
This guy who was a janitor and gets exposed to toxic waste and becomes a superhero.
of sorts.
But like the grossest superhero right. that's ever existed. You know, right. he's literally like this mutant, their skin falling off him and everything.
Like Pizza the Hut saving people from fighting crime, right.
Yeah, so when you think of that, who's the first person you think of to play that character in the reboot? Obviously, it's Peter Dinklage. And yes, Peter Dinklage is the Toxic Avenger in this film.
Okay. Is it any good?
Yeah. Apparently, it's pretty decent. It's running in the 80% range on Rotten Tomatoes. And, it is in that very much in the spirit of the original, but apparently quite fun.
That's not leaning in the direction of the skid. That's full-blown diving into the skid. Okay, fair enough. Exactly. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Not sure yet, but as soon as we figure that out, it will be up on Facebook.
Very good. And I cherish your musical correction of me. I always appreciate that. Julio Diaz, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Julio, as always, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-1, 10 are flowing smoothly. Highway 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Why is a
flashlights?
Map wrong?
Check.
Coming up
Camp
next on the Transgressor Service.
Check. Candids? Check. Ice chests? Check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for the Mercator World Projection Map. As you all know, the traditional map of the Earth is very problematic. In reality, our dear Mother Gaia is a shapely, fit, and dare I even say sexy, oblate spheroid, wonderfully flat at the poles and bulging just right at the equator. Not so the Mercator distortion of her. The challenge, of course, is how to accurately translate those supple curves and bumps onto a two-dimensional page. The Mercator map does this by projecting out the Earth's features as if from a single point in her center onto a cylindrical piece of paper, which is why the longitudes are parallel to each other rather than all coinciding at the north and south poles as they do in reality or on a globe. The big advantage of this map is that it faithfully preserves all the relationships of land masses, making it extremely useful for navigational purposes. However, and this is a massive however, it distorts the size relationships of the entire planet, making countries which are away from the equator seem significantly larger than they really are. This is why Antarctica looks so enormous at the bottom of a Mercator map, but in reality, it's nowhere near that size. Because of this distortion, Africa, for example, appears far too small and insignificant in comparison with its true size. At 11.7 million square miles, Africa is actually 23% larger than North America's 9.5 million square miles. But on a Mercator map, North America appears to be twice as big. Europe appears almost as large as Africa, despite in reality being just one-third the size at 4 million square miles. And tiny Greenland looks as large as the entire continent of Africa, even though it's less than a million square miles, make it only 1/14 the size. In fact, only as large as just one African nation, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now surely, dear Otherin, you're smart enough to figure this out. Was it really by mistake that a Flemish cartographer in the 16th century just accidentally happened to design a map of the world that made all the areas with white people look enormous and all the areas with black and brown people look so much smaller than they really are? Isn't this just another obvious example of white supremacy culture, white man's size envy? Even the choice to put the white areas on top and the areas of color down beneath reinforces the colonial oppression of the Caucasian patriarchy. And that's why now, a coalition of African nations, the African Union, has launched the Correct the Map campaign, an effort to switch to the Equal Earth Projection Map, which rectifies these representational distortions while still keeping the navigational utility of the Mercator racist picture. It does this by replacing the rectangular Mercator image with a map that is compressed top and bottom and rounded on both sides, much more accurately depicting the correct size relationships between land masses. The World Bank, National Geographic, and NASA have already begun using the Equal Earth Map, and it's about time for some good old-fashioned geographical equity for the long undervalidated inhabitants of Africa, Central America, and Southeast Asia. No more will the beautiful black people of Africa feel geographically slighted. Instead, Africa can finally be front center and as large as it really should be, and by fixing this painful geographic bigotry, we can finally put Whitey back in his proper place and with all the shrinkage that George Costanza's people deserve. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida State Representative Juan Carlos Porras, a Republican from Miami, who is reportedly considering filing a bill that would either ban the formation of new homeowners associations in the Gunshine State or else eliminate them altogether, including the existing ones. Dear Otherin, I cannot possibly tell you how deeply concerned I am about this proposed move. In fact, just yesterday, the 24th Interlateran Semi-Ecumenical Partially Standing Committee on Matters of Faith, Politics, and Inclusivity met in emergency session and officially declared this a Code Rainbow emergency, Level 6. Level 6? We all know that Florida has been extremely hostile to our religion, especially under Governor DeSantis, undoing years of work we've done on everything from climate change alarmism to reproductive freedom to educational dominance to gender anarchy and even hollowing out of DEI initiatives, uncozying up to China and supporting the villainous Zionists in Israel. But none of that compares. None of that compares to what could happen if Florida were to eliminate the Homeowners Association. As you all know, the HOA has long served as the single best tool in our arsenal of social engineering for desensitizing our independent, land-owning, freedom-loving fellow Americans to that glorious form of political utopia, communism. Just think of all the ways HOAs prepare the independent middle-class homeowner to become the proletariat, living peaceful, orderly lives under the benevolent guidance of the Politburo. A small group of devoted busybodies oversees the rules by which all residents must abide or face exorbitant and highly arbitrary fines and legal threats, dictating to them in minute detail how their yards will look, what vehicles they may display publicly, the colors and styles of their homes, exteriors, and roofs, mandating fence colors, heights, and even forcing them into sudden menial labor to power wash their driveways or trim their hedges at a moment's notice. Some people think the TSA is the best example of microfascism, with its absurd rules about shoes and belts and body cavity searches of grandmothers and military-age males alike, but no! For sheer volume of interactions and quality of fear cultivation, the simple HOA is unsurpassed at turning the independent spirit of Americans into the compliant sheeple needed in the utopian one-world government of global socialism we all yearn for. Only the traditional American classroom with its row and column factory-like setup, assigned seating, sit still and listen, raise your hand to beg for permission to urinate mindset, has ever done more to destroy the American spirit of rugged individualism than the HOA. And now this madman wants to eliminate them? What did you all learn in your preliminary coursework for the Apprentice Wokist Level 1 certification? It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes an HOA to continually emasculate them. Whose streets? HOA's streets. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to celebrate Cracker Barrel, a recently beleaguered brand that has tried to do mighty things with our most newly created award, the Hemp Rocking Chair, with two natural wood tassels. And although you might think after the reversal on the logo issue, effectively reinstating both the cracker and the barrel, we wouldn't be so favorable on them. But you see, the real story is in what they're still doing through the reimagining of their restaurant interiors that so impresses us. In particular, the tremendous work being done to inclusivize the most notoriously oppressive mainstay Cracker Barrel has long been famous for, the peg game. For anyone unfortunate enough to have played this game, which involves jumping and removing pegs on a triangular board in an effort to reduce the number of pegs to one sole survivor, you know that the game actually insults you if you don't succeed. As the condescending little wooden triangle proclaims, leave only one, you're genius. Leave two and you're pretty smart. Leave three and you're just plain dumb. Leave four or more and you're just plain ignoramus, in all caps, as if you didn't already feel terrible for your failure. Notice how they even slip the classic slur against neurodivergent person's moron into the verbiage. But now Cracker Barrel has quietly done the amazing. They've changed the message burned into the wood. According to Country Living Magazine, it now reads, leave only one, you're a genius, which fixes the grammar error of the missing article. Leave two, rocking the chair, but not the game. And finally, and most beautifully, leave three or more, no need to be embarrassed, try again. As anyone who has ever left four or more and read that horribly demeaning insult, the new version is a true triumph of tolerance and pyrography. As you fine other and well know, the 14th rule of wokeness teaches us to always strive to make people feel good about themselves, regardless of how well they do at something. Every human being has the Gaia-given right to high self-esteem and limitless unmerited approval and support. The traditional Cracker Barrel peg game stands in direct violation of this core principle. It's highly wounding to the precious self-esteem of people brave enough to play in the first place, which is why we've long advocated a revision that deleted the condemnation and mockery and replaced it with an endless supply of participation ribbons for anyone bold enough to simply try the game. But really, if Cracker Barrel wanted to really inclusivize this hostile little device, they'd probably get rid of it altogether, since its entire premise is to challenge people, which means to make some of them fail. An alternative would be perhaps to remind people that the game is up to them to play however they want, without reference to any fixed rules imposed upon them by someone else. Why even assume pegs go in holes? If someone wants to put a peg into a peg, or put two pegs into a single hole, or jump a peg and remove both, or neither, why not? Who's to say what rules a particular set of hardware should follow? Why must you re-perform colonialism by forcing the hapless indigenous people pegs, notice how the game encourages you to play the white tee and remove the tees of color, to conquer and remove one another until only one survivor remains? In fact, simply believing there's one correct way to play the peg game in the first place is to accept the heteronormative white supremacy culture Cracker Barrel has always been predicated upon anyhow. Don't let no cracker tell you how to play with your peg. Besides, they probably shouldn't have had the game anyhow, since those pegs are sharp and pointy and are very likely dangerous, especially in the hands of the sort of people who think you should get a participation trophy for leaving four or more after playing the game. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Those are words I always live by. Never let a cracker tell you how to play with your peg. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Yeah, I've jumped two at a time. That way I'm not ignoramus. All right, let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, even through the construction zones. Highway 29, 9 Mile, and even 98 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Excuse me, I misquoted myself. Don't let no cracker tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
If you need to buy or sell a home, you want a good real estate agent who's going to understand what the market is doing, walk you through the process, get you to the closing, solve problems, anticipate problems, help you ask better questions than you would ask on your own. That's Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Detail-oriented. I mean, she just loves nerding out on real estate. Loves talking to people who maybe don't know much or maybe do. Either way, she just loves being a help. 165 homes she and her folks sold last year. That's three and a half, four every single week, week after week. Give her a call. Ask her questions. Pick her brain. Make a friend. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump is revoking Secret Service protection for former Vice President Kamala Harris. The move set to become effective September 1st. Former vice presidents are automatically granted 6 months of protection after they leave office. Harris's detail was set to be eliminated last month, but hers was extended by former President Biden. Global tariff exemption for low-cost goods has now ended. The century-old exemption allowed items worth less than $800 to be shipped to America duty-free. Without having to pay tariffs, Japan, India, and many European nations already announced suspensions of U.S.-bound shipments.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, we got a really good wrap coming up. I got Aaron Dimmock here in studio with me, Jonathan Owens, and Steve Brentro from Incorporate Perdido. That wasn't the name of it, but yeah, that's okay. We'll talk about it coming up. It'll be a good one, really. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump has pulled the extended Secret Service protection for former Vice President Kamala Harris. A Harris spokesman said no reason given. By federal law, it would have ended at 6 months in July, but President Biden had granted a year extension. California Governor Newsom, with a page from the Trump playbook, announcing crime suppression teams. Vice President Vance calls Newsom a cheap imitation of Trump and addresses the mass shooting at the Minneapolis Annunciation Church.
We really do have, I think, a mental health crisis in the United States of America. We take way more psychiatric medication than any other nation on earth, and I think it's time for us to start asking some very hard questions about the root causes of this violence.
Your Labor Day, AAA national average gas price $3.20 a gallon, and PCE inflation exactly as forecast. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes. Right now, 75, and it is cloudy here in the area. A 22-year-old man has died after a single vehicle crash last night on Beulah Road. FHP says the driver ran off the road onto the left shoulder near Helms Road. On Beulah Road, near Helms Road, that is. The vehicle struck some trees. The driver had to be extricated, was taken to Sacred Heart Hospital. Florida's Attorney General James Uthmeyer giving an update on Operation Summer Hurricane yesterday, of course, aimed at taking child predators off the streets. Uthmeyer says these sting operations often reveal people in the country illegally.
Every time we do one of these stings, we end up pulling illegal aliens off the streets that are trying to molest and prey upon our kids.
And Uthmeyer says it's an ongoing problem. He recommends closely monitoring your children's online activities. The state of Florida introducing robotic rabbits to control Burmese pythons in the Everglades. The South Florida Water Management District collaborating with the University of Florida. They deployed 120 of the tools over the summer, hoping to lure the snakes from their hiding spots. The $4,000 mechanical decoys mimic the appearance, movement, and even the scent of real marsh rabbits. A man that killed three people in Orange County is dead. The state executed Curtis Windham last night at the Florida State Prison. He was 59 years old. Windham shot his victims more than 30 years ago. One man owed him money. The other two victims were his girlfriend and her mother. It's the 11th execution in Florida this year. That's a record. Another one set for next month. Well, sad update from Sarasota County. The girl we reported on earlier this week who was pulled into a storm drain has died. 5-year-old Zaria Miller, she died yesterday from injuries suffered during that freak accident last Sunday. Officials said she was playing near a ditch when the water main broke and the sudden gush of water pulled her into a storm drain system. She was carried over 100 yards before she was found. Her family has established a GoFundMe, and so far they've received about $90,000 in donations. A Leon County deputy is being accused of having sex with a minor, Saul Garcia. He was arrested yesterday for unlawful sexual activity with minors. The victim, the alleged victim, that is a 16-year-old female student at Godby High School in Tallahassee, where Garcia was a school resource deputy. Investigators say they don't believe there's any other victims. The sheriff's office said Garcia has been terminated from his position. Well, Senator Rick Scott wants to see how California is spending its money that it's getting to prevent wildfires. Scott sent a letter yesterday to Agriculture Department Secretary Brooke Rollins. He wrote that in a recent visit to Southern California, he met with residents who are accusing the state of mismanaging money that's supposed to prevent and respond to wildfires. Scott is asking Rollins to review funding that California's gotten over the last decade and how it was spent. He writes that he's hoping it'll shed light on California's waste. It's 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No new accidents to report to you right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays on 98 or Highway 90. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. And cloudy right now. We've got 75 degrees in Pensacola, 72 in Milton, and 74 in Gulf Breeze. And again, today we are looking at some rain chances, cloudy skies, high around 80 this afternoon. More rain chances, about 50% or so for Saturday. Chance of some thunderstorms. Also, high of 85. 87 for the high, cloudy over the on Sunday. Early next week, we could see some rain showers early on, highs in the mid-80s, and then rain chances diminishing by midweek. It's 8:35, our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. And your money now this morning, our numbers from the opening bell. The Dow down 87 points, 45,549. S&P down 15.75 points, 64,86.10. NASDAQ down 107 points at 21,598. Today, our 10-year bond rate is up this morning at 4.232%. Looking at gold prices, up 160, 34.75. Silver down 5 cents. Crypto today, Bitcoin down over 1,800, 110,269. Ethereum down. Solana's up 72 cents. Dogecoin also down by about 0.3 of a cent today. Uber and Dollar Tree forming a partnership allowing users to shop Dollar Tree and have their items delivered by Uber through the Uber Eats and Uber apps. That new feature is available for more than 9,000 Dollar Tree stores. There's a $10 discount on Uber Eats for orders of $30 or more. Uber One customers not being charged delivery fees there. If you're expecting a package from overseas, there could be delays.
A tariff exemption the U.S. has had for nearly a century ends today. Items sent to the U.S. valued at less than $800 had been allowed to enter the country duty-free with the de minimis exemption. Companies in Japan, India, and many European nations already announced suspensions of U.S.-bound shipments. Roughly 4 million packages came into the U.S. daily with that exemption. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Thank you very much, Rory. And artificial intelligence is posing a threat to entry-level jobs. A Stanford University study found entry-level jobs for workers between 22 and 25 years old have now declined by 13% since the widespread adoption of AI technology. According to researchers, declines in employment are happening in jobs that are most exposed to AI, which can include software developers, customer service reps, computer programmers, receptionists, and others. 8:38. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Said a hip, the hip, the hip, the hip, the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the Sharkle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the opportunity to talk about the events of the week or whatever comes up, and I'm sure we're going to be more of the whatever comes up in this conversation because I have two new participants on the wrap this week, and I actually have three people in studio with me, so they outnumber us. Jonathan Owens, long-time friend.
Good morning.
Always good to have you back. And new participants, we have Aaron Dimmock, who ran for Congress, retired Navy captain?
Commander.
Commander, okay.
Yeah,
sorry, 05, not 06. All right,
no,
gotcha. Good to have you on. And Steve Brentrow, who was kind of the visual leader, the person most people knew as promoting and incorporating Perdido. We are Perdido. I said it wrong before. Sorry. But I guess I have to refer to you as Lord.
Yes.
Brentrow?
Lord Stephen.
Lord Stephen.
Yes.
Tell why? Because this is amazing.
Well, I'm a Scottish Lord because I own 10 square feet of land in Scotland.
10 square feet?
Yes.
Wow. Is that the requirement? It has to be 10 square feet?
Well, just any land. Snoop Dogg owns some land next to mine.
Lord Snoop?
Yeah, Lord Snoop.
Or Lord Dog. So, I don't know which one he goes by. Okay. And apparently John Pickens, our producer, is...
I am.
Also a Scottish Lord?
And no, I'm English.
You're English Lord?
Yes.
How much do you own?
Lord Johnny.
Seriously, I've got the certificate to prove it.
How big is
your
plot?
Did they give you a card?
Like 5 feet. I didn't.
5 feet.
I just got a certificate.
I got a card that I carry in my wallet.
You know what?
So when the police ask, I can show them.
Look, I need
Does
to get
with you.
Does
it qualify as diplomatic immunity?
I think so. I haven't tried it with ICE yet.
But you do get upgrades in British hotels. Is that right?
Yes. Lots of upgrades.
The world's an amazing place.
Yeah, exactly.
Better than AAA.
I don't even know what to do with that, except I'm amazed. So, frankly. Hey, one of the questions or one of the topics I wanted to talk about, you guys were actually here when we were talking with Alex Andrade about this Senate bill that took final plat approval out of the hands of the county commissioners. I have gotten so much feedback from elected officials who are livid about this. They, you know, feel like their power to say yes or no in the end to these final plats is very, very important. It's the last check, basically, on developer power. So, you know, Alex, it wasn't his bill, but he voted for it. Unanimous vote in both the House and the Senate. So, you know, Michelle voted for it. I mean, everybody voted for it. And, you know, he had some good arguments, I thought, as well about why there's a balancing act between private property rights and you don't want the circus of certain colored shirts to be in charge of whether development happens or not. I kind of value the circus and I find it obnoxious. And also, I'm glad that's part of the process. But I don't know, Jonathan, you worked in this county a long time. You know, Horace Jones is the guy now. I mean, he's in charge of everything, basically.
I value the circus as well. It's the people's opportunity to, you know, address their grievances with, you know, whatever that may be, development or, you know, closing of the beach or opening of the beach or whatever. That's public forum. It's the opportunity to address it at large and put themselves on the record, right? And everyone on the record.
I mean, even if their view is silly, it's their view and it's their government.
Right. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
And it's not, and it's often not silly.
Right. The interesting part with this, I find that how each of the counties are going to be doing, or municipalities are going to be doing it different. Like you referenced before that Santa Rosa County is doing it kind of by a panel.
Yeah.
Escambia County is doing it by one individual, the planning director.
At least at this point.
And that
they may
change.
Right.
That, right.
Right.
That may change depending on, you know, what happens. I mean, ultimate responsibility also equates to ultimate accountability, right? So if something's approved at, you know, a panel or a director's, you know, sign off. If something goes wrong, I mean, you're going to be responsible for it, right?
Who do you vote out?
You can't vote out Horace, but I mean, Horace is going to be under, if it's Escambia County, Horace is going to be under the microscope. Okay, well, why did you approve this? You know, he's going to have to probably stand in front of the board, and the board can have the opportunity to bring whoever up there and say, okay, it may not be an item on the agenda, but I mean, they can address it if someone comes to public forum, which I've seen happen often.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone comes to public forum and says, hey, you know, this is happening because of this. Well, let's bring staff up and talk to them about it. Well, you know, they're going to have to.
But Stephen Barry has said so clearly, he doesn't even want to hear issues that he doesn't have the ability to say no on, which is understandable, but also, you know, maybe not the goal. It's kind of like the state legislature forced us to go from an elected plat approver to an appointed plat approver. Is kind of what we wound up in. And from a panel of publicly elected officials susceptible to, you know, to public input to somebody who's absolutely not. I don't know, Aaron, you're kind of nodding your head. Any thoughts about all this?
Yeah, I agree with Jonathan. And one of the things I think we've seen as a recent trend is the fact that continuing to pull the voice of the voter and the citizen away is not the way to go. And I think we will, as you mentioned, you both just mentioned, so I agree with everything you both mentioned for the potential for change as well. But there, my bigger question is why? Like, why pass the legislation? Why do that now?
Somebody told me that it comes out of a problem that Blaise Ngoli was having down in his county. He's the senator who sponsored the legislation. He's a developer. Mm-hmm. And now we have a change in the entire state because of one situation in a legislator's home territory, which doesn't
unintended consequences of a sea change, right?
Right, exactly. Steve, you big on land development stuff. I mean, We Are Perdido was largely about the power of local control as opposed to the county, for example. If you incorporated, you'd handle these things, but wouldn't be elected. I don't know. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's all about bringing that local voice and that local control back closer to the people at home. And whether we should incorporate or not, that's not really the issue. It's how can we get that power back to the people? And right now, the people making decisions about what appropriate development is in our communities don't even live in our communities. And right now, it's moving closer and closer to Tallahassee. So people who have never even set foot in Escambia County are getting to decide what's appropriate. That's weird.
I know a lot of people feel like they, even if they do show up and bring a group and they talk, and then the county commissioners do whatever they want, and they feel like they don't have control. And it's not like 10 people should be able to decide. The elected officials have the authority. I get that. But there's a feeling that they've lost power to the county, and now whatever power they had before has been taken away and given to one person or a board by Tallahassee. And it's just like you say, it's kind of less and less ability to direct the future. Now, I know the other side is, look, private property rights and development, and the more you hinder development, the higher the cost of things goes. A 30-day delay might not seem like a lot to you, but that's carrying cost for the developer. I mean, I get that this is not one side. I was 95-5 yesterday, and I'm 70-30 today. So hold your thought, Jonathan. Let's get quick traffic from John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. No delays either. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Jonathan, you were going to say?
The ability for checks and balances is removed when you do this. The county commission or the elected officials have the opportunity to say, okay, planning director or staff, can we go back and analyze this or ask questions of staff? How does this look from a trips standpoint? I mean, is this going to be a PUD where you're putting 300 homes in and not meeting what the current planning or zoning classifications are for that? How is this going to affect the neighbors from a traffic standpoint? Is it right down the street from a school? I mean, that there's no checks and balances to it. The once approved, it's hard to unapprove something, right? Right. Oh, well, the planning director said we're approved. Well, okay. The only way to solve that is in what? Court, right? Someone has to file a lawsuit. So it just adds a whole nother layer of unaccountable to the developer.
Yeah. Aaron?
Yeah, I think building on that accountability component also is what's going to take place now in the wake of this decision, from the standpoint that it all falls on Horace's shoulders. But what are the backdoor, backroom conversations that are going to happen now?
Out of the sunshine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I have some sway because I'm a radio host. Maybe Horace takes my call. You're just some person who lives down the street. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But it's up to him. There's no requirement. If you don't email him, there's no record. It just, all of the things that come with having it out in the public go away.
Correct.
Which, and again, I make it sound like there's nothing on the other side. I think there are things to be said on the other side. But it very much seems like, well, we did it this way for a long time, and we're frustrated with the way this is going, and now we've actually made it worse, not easier, for people to develop. And again, I live in a house built by a developer. I don't have anything against developers. I want houses. I want houses to be inexpensive and high quality. But I also want people to have a say, because that's the nature of participative democracy. So,
exactly.
Well, very good. What else do we have going on? I don't know. Do you want to talk about the local shooting case a threat with the guys? This was the big news earlier in the week. Was the Santa Rosa dad, former Special Forces doctor, his daughter gets an Uber or a Lyft. I forget. It might have been a Lyft. But anyway, gets a ride share, comes to Escambia County allegedly to buy some drugs. He takes her back. The dad's scared, pulls out his rifle, holds the driver at gunpoint, you know, detains him. He says it's a citizen's arrest. The judge says no. He says it was, you know, just appropriate use of force because he didn't know what was going on late at night with a potential threat. And Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office said, no, you can't do that unless he's threatening your life. But ultimately, the jury said, we exonerate you.
It kind of goes back to the people to make the decision, right? I mean, like you said, the jury is the last line of defense for something like this.
Right.
Personal opinion.
Would you have convicted or acquitted? Because I said I would have acquitted, but I'm very on the fence.
He
definitely broke the law, but I don't know that I would convict him beyond just the suffering of having to have gone through it already. But the Uber driver was hurt. Who's standing up for him?
Right. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to make a call on
You're
that.
You're not on the jury.
I'm not on the jury. I wasn't there. I don't have all of the evidence that was presented. As someone who carries, right, concealed
right.
carry, I know what rules are put upon me and what guidelines I am supposed to be held to.
You'd better.
Yeah, right, before I pull a weapon out.
Right.
You can't, because there's no open carry in Florida, you can't just walk down the street and say, point a weapon at an Uber driver because, you know, you think he kidnapped your daughter or whatever it may have been.
Right.
I'm on the fence on this, again, without having all the info.
Steve?
Yeah, this is kind of the fun of jury nullification.
Right.
No one wants to talk about that. And if you want to get thrown off a jury selection, just mention that
word. Say you believe in it, right?
Yeah, no.
and by the way, it's a term that if you know, if you don't, I want to explain it. Jury nullification is the idea that no matter what the courts or the law or the lawyers or anybody else says or what the judge says, the jury in the jury deliberation room, going back to English common law, has the right to say we are not going to convict this person for any reason they decide. We are just not going to apply that law in this case. It doesn't set a precedent. And a lot of times you'll try to get talked out of that being a thing. And as you say, you might get deselected from a jury if you say believe in it. But that is a longstanding.
Absolutely.
That's the reason we believe in juries, because your peers should be able to decide, ultimately, we're not going to punish you.
Right. They look at all the circumstances, look at all the facts, and say, you know what, you did do that, but given the circumstances,
right,
we're going to find you not guilty.
Yeah, and in this case, and I said this on the other day, but in this case, one of the things I think people aren't considering very much is, what if the driver had been carrying? And if he'd have been fast, you know, he could have shot this dad, and 100% in self-defense. I mean, a man's pointing
correct.
A rifle at me, detaining me. You know, he's battering me with a deadly weapon. He's assaulting me with a deadly weapon, not battering. I can act. I mean, but well within your rights. So it's a complicated case, a lot of details. But, yeah, it's, as you say, that's why jury nullification exists. I am curious. I also carry, Jonathan, as you know. I get more and more frustrated with all the places I can't carry. We're teaching he's in college now, but my 19-year-old has learned how to drive. So I'm the second person in the car, right? He doesn't have a license yet. And, you know, he's getting ready to go to campus the other day. And my wife says, are you taking your gun? I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm glad she did. I'm glad she said that, because I think in your car you're probably okay, but, you know, I don't want to test that rule. I find it frustrating that all of these places, because it's like, yeah, you get to carry. Now you can carry without a permit. Yeah, but you can't go here, and you can't go to the bar, and you can't go to the school, you can't go to the elementary school, you can't go to, all of these, you can't go to the court. There's all these places where you can't carry, and, you know, all these no-go zones for carrying. Jonathan?
The school is the first place I think I would want to carry.
Right.
Right.
I mean, to help protect if, God forbid, something happens.
Right. That's where I have the biggest issue of not, you know, imposed rules that you can't carry here. The bar, I can see it, right? Alcohol and you know.
Well, but you already can't carry when you're drunk. It's illegal to be
right.
in possession of a firearm when you're inebriated, whether concealed or any even if you're on your property, apparently, you know, even then I wouldn't drunken shoot because, you know, that can be a crime. I think that's a crime. I know out in public you cannot be inebriated
well,
and have a gun.
Johnny Cash talked about that. Don't bring your guns
don't bring
to
your
town.
Guns to town. Right. So the bar, I at least I get the rationale there, but I don't know, a political meeting. Well, high tensions. Okay. Exactly. I mean, high tension. So That means only the deranged person is going to break that rule. Right.
Example, the Board of County Commissioners has protocols in place and physical barriers in place for if someone comes in with a weapon. That person that's going to come in and shoot or, you know, draw a weapon on a public official, they don't care about the rules.
Right. Okay, they're not following them.
They're not following them. And in case of the county commission of Escambia County, they have two officers there. Okay, great. Well, what if there's four people there with that all decide, hey, we're going to go take out these guys?
Right.
Well, those four people outnumber the two people there. Well, okay, so what if you had a good guy with a gun in the audience? That's a whole, you know, whole different conversation. But if you follow the rules, you wouldn't necessarily have that.
And those of us who carry want to follow the rules because we want to preserve the right to carry, which will go away if you break these nonsense rules. And, you know, again, we're the law-abiding ones. We're the ones I would think you would want to, you know, be armed in a situation.
That's exactly right. And I think there's even the component here where the trust in the citizen to know where they can and can't, as that list grows, that means fewer and fewer folks will actually recall that list. And so keeping it simple, you talked about the inebriation component. Like that's where I think we start to cross a line, is there's too much dependence on the individual actually doing it, where the simpler is actually better, because that way we can enforce and abide by what's actually out there.
Somebody says, can you imagine the Milton City Council meeting if they allowed guns? Well, no, look, I mean, as much as there's drama and personal attacks and ridiculousness all the time, I don't know, maybe people would be nicer if they, you know, there's that old argument that if you think everybody might be carrying, maybe you're a little bit more diplomatic with people. But seriously, you have to make a decision about whether you do or do not trust your neighbors. And generally speaking, I do. But particularly, why would I only empower the people who are willing to break the rules that are very difficult to enforce to be the ones who have the, you know, the force advantage? Correct. That's the problem. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents or delays to let you know about. Everything's all good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I don't really know. I got a couple of new folks here in the room with me. Jonathan Owens, of course, a longtime voice, but Steve Brentro and Aaron Dimmick are here with me as well. We got four people on the wrap. This is kind of fun, including me. Are you guys football fans at all? Aaron is a football fan. Who's your team?
Sure. For sure. New England Patriots. Yeah,
you don't need to invite him back.
I knew it was coming.
Is he also a Red Sox fan?
Absolutely.
Oh my.
Yeah. Oh no.
The Dimmick side of the family's from
New
England.
You didn't win your election.
That's awesome. My brother would agree with you.
I'm a Cardinals fan. I mean, I can say it. You know, you got the rings and we don't. So all right. I mean, we're back to okay. I know some people in the office who are as thrilled as can be. Like, they've been doing the daily countdown. I find that it's, oh, yeah, you know? Are you excited? Are
yes.
you eager? Okay. All right. I must just not be enough of a fan.
I'm just wondering what kind of football you're talking about.
Don't start. Don't start with this. It's Lord Scottish Lord thinks we're talking about soccer. Okay.
It's football.
Football. Cracker Barrel. Quickly, because we're almost out of time. Good Lord. And the transgressors have dealt with them twice now. They recover from this? More people go back after all is said and done? They're ditching their pride initiatives. That's good. But they're also revamping the peg game. That's really a true story. They're revamping the peg game so that it's nicer. It's like if the snowflakes of Gen Z came along and told them what they didn't like about the old interior design and the mean peg game and don't hurt my feelings. And I know a lot of Gen Z folks hate that stuff too, so fair enough. But
I hope inside that it was all a ruse
and that it was a work.
Right, it was a work.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna make ourselves look this way so we can get a whole lot of free media, right? And then Trump endorses us. Yes, for congratulations.
Yeah, everybody wins.
You know, I don't know that anyone is that brazen to do that.
It would not just take creativity.
Right.
It would take a very close circle of who knows.
Right.
And incredible guts to try it, putting your whole brand on the line for the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars in market capitalization. Let's hope this works and nobody finds out.
I'm just wondering where all the crackers are going to get their
no
their holiday gifts
no,
this year.
That's no. where they.
That's where you pick up the best holiday gifts.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think the final thought here is just, at least for me, is the capacity to be able to change. And I agree with you. I think this was a full-blown program. They were fully in on it. And now they're reacting to the pushback.
Yeah.
I think they do stick around.
And I think a lot of the pushback was mistargeted. It wasn't really woke. The brand wasn't.
Correct.
But, you know, once you get that label and once it gets circulated on social media, it's, you know, are you with us or against us? Aaron Dimmick and Steve Brentrow and Jonathan Owens, thanks for a good discussion, guys.
Thanks
appreciate
so much,
it. Thanks. All right, go Argos. They play tonight. See you on Monday.